Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. We say hello now to John McClain, who joins us from Houston. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're good. We're just, you know, we've kind of hit that point in the season where we open the show and it's like, if you want to talk about the Titans, we'll do that, but do we really have to? We know what they are at this point. Now they're making trades and getting fifth-round picks for a guy that they spent a second-round pick for in Roger McCreary. So that's where we are today.
There's a lot of great football going on around the NFL and a lot of great football going on in college sports. I watched games all Saturday. I was at the Texans game Sunday, but I stayed till I got early, stayed late to watch the afternoon games. So I saw a lot of good ones, although – truthfully, this weekend in college football was much better than this weekend in pro football, where so many games were won by double digits, including the one I covered where the Texans beat up the 5-2 49ers pretty good. And I watched that A&M game, and number one, I hope Vanderbilt beats Texas. And but right now, after watching A&M the last few weeks, I don't know that they're not the best team in the country, even though Ohio State and Indiana would beg to differ.
Texas A&M is pretty good. Mike Elko has done a really good job there, so I'm with you on that. Going back to your game, I was watching some of the early games and then the Titans, but that one really surprised me because the way San Francisco's played and the way Houston's played, I did not see that one coming. And also Houston had some key players out of the lineup.
Well, so did the 49ers, and I picked the 49ers to win by three because what I had seen from the Texans at Seattle on Monday Night Football, where they lost by eight, not the defense but the offense, particularly the offensive line, was terrible. And C.J. Stroud was bad. Well, in this game, the offensive line played its best game of the season. Stroud completed 79% and two touchdowns, averaged 8.2 yards per completion, and he was magnificent at one interception that was thrown on the last play of the first half when a receiver made the wrong route, ran the wrong route. But I don't know. The smart guys in Vegas had the Texans favored by 1.5. And I told my wife if we were betting, I would bet 10 grand on the 49ers. And she said, well, you're never right, so we're not. Boy, I'm glad we didn't.
I'm glad you didn't either. John McClain is with us. When you look at the Titans roster, I'm going to assume we agree that Jeffrey Simmons is the one that stands out as being a player that would have the most value at the trade deadline. But they're saying that he's not on the block, they're not going to trade him, and obviously not Cam Ward. I just feel like that's bad business because Simmons is not going to, you know, I mean, he's good, obviously, but by the time this team gets good again, I think he's going to be on the backside of his career. Why not capitalize on getting something for him right now?
Well, just because they say they're not doesn't mean they won't. I mean, true. Teams lie all the time. What if somebody calls them up and gives them an offer they can't refuse? Of course they would trade Simmons. The idea is you don't tell people you're going to trade them. Then you get the offers are not as impressive. The key is to get two teams who think they're going to the Super Bowl or the playoffs who need a defensive tackle and get them bidding against each other. That's the smart way to do it. I don't know that that's what they're doing, but that would be the smart way because he's not going to serve them any purpose, I can't imagine, in 3 years. And if you trade him now, instead of like in 2 years, you're going to get more.
John, you know, Mike Tomlin was complaining a few weeks ago how the Browns traded Joe Flacco within the division. What if, and I like playing hypotheticals, what if the Texans made an offer to the Titans that was so good for Jeffrey Simmons, they could not turn that down? Could you see that happening?
Well, I think anybody makes you an offer that's too good to turn down, you'd be crazy to worry about who it is. You know, you can't worry about other teams. You got to worry about your team and what's best for your team. and you got to have the confidence in your ability to trade and not worry about can it come back and haunt you and what the fans and media would think about it.
Exactly. John, you've covered football for a long time. Can you recall what is the worst Oilers football team you ever covered? Because I think we might have that beat up here in Nashville right now.
Let's see. Before I got there, they were 1-13 2 years in a row. They were the worst team in football, back-to-back seasons. And they traded their top picks, who ended up like Tuttle Jones goes to the Cowboys with one of their picks. And of the teams that I covered, I think I told you last week, they went 5 years in a row without winning more than five games. Ugh. 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And that was a bad 5 year period. Fortunately, I was younger then, and otherwise it would have killed me. And the only thing fun was the draft, and they were real good at drafting at that point. So those were the worst teams. The ones that were the worst of all, the ones that needed a quarterback. And because until you get your quarterback, it's hopeless. Then once you get a quarterback, you got to have a coach. And the coach, the quarterback, and the general manager. Those three have to be, they have to be together on the same page. And then you build around them.
You know, John, we talk about how desirable would it be for a player to come to Nashville and, you know, and play for the Titans. But you just mentioned that right there. I mean, you now got a quarterback who's going through the fire. You got some really good young receivers. I mean, there are some foundational pieces here. If you get the right coach to come in here, I know there's only 32 head coaching jobs in the world, but I think this could be a desirable job because you've got some pieces, have you just alluded to, that are here that you can work for and work with.
A lot of guys who have multiple offers are looking for, number one, will they spend money? Yeah, they spend money. Do they have a quarterback? Yes, we believe they have a quarterback. And do you have a general manager you can work with and you think you can be on the same page with? In this case, you got to be on page with same page with the GM and then Brinker as well. So, and the fact that it's Nashville, everybody loves Nashville. It's not hard to get a wife and kids to want to come to Nashville. And so there's a lot of things working in their favor. I haven't looked to see, but will they have a lot of salary cap room available when the new league year begins in March?
I believe so. I'm pulling that up right now. But I think they're pretty good in that sense.
Well, that's good for getting free agents. You know, the this past off season, one of the reasons Mike Vrabel wanted that job is he liked Drake May as the quarterback. He knew the crafts, and so he took it because they had the most money to spend compared to any team in the league.
According to Over the Cap, they would have almost $113
million. Woo!
Ooh, that's a lot of free agents.
Yep. So, and look, I mean, they could have more because you could have some cuts that, you know, your dead cap wouldn't be too much. So they could certainly look at doing some of those things. We will have more with John McClain coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday, continuing our conversation with John McClain down there in Houston. John, I don't know if you saw the report over the weekend Diana Russini had that, and I think this is a little bit of Jimmy Sexton doing his job, but that Steve Sarkisian would be interested in NFL jobs, including the Tennessee Titans. I think he's got a good deal there at Texas, but could Sark work in the NFL?
I did see that. And as I mentioned, the Titans. And then, of course, Sexton comes out and trashes it like crazy. And then Sarkisian afterwards, he's had two raises, two extensions already. He's not going to get another one. Based on his play calling and how all the people are howling at Austin that he needs to give it up, especially in the red zone, I do not see him returning to the NFL.
I think that's an agent doing agent things, and then he'll deny, deny, deny. The ending of the Jets and Bengals game, I mean, how heartbroken does Cincinnati fans need to be today, and Titans fans, because the guy that broke up that play at the end was, yet again, somebody they traded for nothing.
Well, first of all, I saw what Justin Fields said after the game, after his owner ripped him last week at the league meetings, and then he said it was the darkest period of his life. So I was happy to see him do that. I like Aaron Glenn. He finished his playing career with the Texans. He's a really good guy. So you knew the Jets weren't going to go unbeaten. I mean, they weren't going to go winless. And so they're going to win one sooner or later. Bengals are still terrible. It's a terrible way to lose a game like that you know you should have won.
John, how did Mac Jones look yesterday down in Houston? I know he's going to be the hot quarterback coming to the offseason. You saw him up close and personal yesterday.
Texans defense is real good, as the Titans know. And he only got sacked twice. He got knocked down six or seven times. He was off target on a lot. And overall, you wouldn't think that he wasn't nearly as good as he has been in winning five games. The Texans shut down Christian McCaffrey. He had 25 yards, averaged 3.1 a carry, shut him down as a receiver, too. But when the offense controls the ball for over 41 minutes, you're not going to get many opportunities, and they didn't.
John, I know he's got a quarterback in Denver, but Sean Payton's got something going there. They look like they're having fun. The defense is good. The games are exciting. I mean, how good is this football team in Denver?
They lead the league in sacks. Bo Nix has been tremendous. He and Drake May have run away from the crowd, the pack, and of those quarterbacks who were so good last year. And they still got salary cap issues from Russell Wilson's contract, but their personnel department has been outstanding. They have guys they've drafted who've stepped up and developed, especially wide receiver. They got pass rushers, and Vance Joseph, their defensive coordinator, who used to coach with the Texans, he's doing an outstanding job, and Sean Payton's showing why he's an outstanding head coach. The Texans play them in Houston on Sunday, and I expect that to be a much tougher test for C.J. Stroud than the one he faced on Sunday with the 49ers, who only knocked him down twice and had no sacks.
John, once again, we are get to watch on the national TV landscape the Kansas City Chiefs, who seem like every week they're on Sunday night or Monday night football. How scary can they be if they finally wake up and put everything together? Because I think they're starting to do that.
They are starting to do that, Joe. They proved it lately. They're getting a lot of players back. Still don't have their rookie tackle, Josh Simmons. Nobody really knows what's happened to him, but he's disappeared. But they're playing great. Patrick Mahomes is playing great. And what I'm tired of, and there's nothing you can do about it, is all those nationally televised Bengals and Commanders games that we're seeing backup quarterbacks. Nothing is more boring than games with backup quarterbacks.
Right.
John McClain is with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. What do you think about this matchup tonight?
I don't even know who's playing, to tell you the truth. Is it
Washington?
Is that Washington playing tonight against Kansas City?
Yeah.
Before the season, it looked great. You got two Super Bowl contenders. You got a great young quarterback, and you got one of the best in history. And right now, any of us believe that Marcus Mariota is going to engineer an upset of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs?
Hey, he's done it before. He could throw a pass to himself. Who knows? You never know. But no, I don't think so. And I think the Chiefs have proven that they're back. So I would definitely take Kansas City in that one tonight. I want to ask you, and you tell me how much you can or can't talk about this, but I saw through all the Hall of Fame stuff that, you know, Bud has kind of moved into the next tier of where he needed to go when it comes to him being in the Hall of Fame. And I know Jim Wyatt wrote a really nice piece about that, and you've had a lot to do with that. But that was good to see Bud kind of take the next step in moving towards the Hall of Fame.
Well, he needs to take the next one. That's where he went last year. He got into the room where he was a finalist among the contributors. And so I've done everything I can do, sending out information to the voters. And if he gets into the next group, means we'll be talking about him when we have our Zoom in January. And I think that it's really hard for a contributor. He's up against Robert Kraft and Clint Murchison and Art Modell. Last year, he and Kraft were the only ones who became finalists, and both of them were eliminated quickly, and they've made it much tougher. The Hall of Fame has made it so much tougher for people to get in, and it hurts the contributors and the coaches.
I just, you know, and you've said this perfectly, but I just don't understand how you can't have somebody, you know, that when you ask the question, can you tell the story of the NFL without Bud Adams, the answer is no, why he's not in the Hall of Fame. I mean, did moving the team piss people off that much?
No, that's never come up. If you go back, when I have made my presentation, I make it seem like Bud's career ended in 1970 as an owner, because he played he was an instrumental co-founder of the AFL. He saved the Jets, maybe the AFL, by trading Joe Namath to the Jets. He was one of the first to integrate. He had three black quarterbacks at one point, one of the first black executives. And I hit on all that and his role in helping get the merger. And then I stop, because if you go into it after that, too many people, they think about all the coaches he fired, how the teams were terrible. It never, and shooting fingers at the Bills and all kinds of things. And but the in our discussions, it never came up about moving the team, because almost every team in the NFL was moved at one time or another.
Absolutely. John, are all the original AFL owners in the Hall of Fame?
No, they're not. No.
I know. But who is it? Ralph Wilson's in. Al Davis is in. And there's one or two more, right?
Al Davis wasn't an original owner.
That's
was
right.
An assistant coach. And Ralph Wilson is in. Of course, Lamar Hunt is in. The Chargers owner, Baron Hilton, is not in. The Sullivan family's not in from Boston Patriots. So there's more not in than are in. And I think if an owner, the next one's going to get in. Robert Kraft's won 6 Super Bowls, and they're in the business to win. And I think he deserves to be in. And I tell them that you can't write the history of pro football without this person, and you definitely cannot write the history of pro football without Bud Adams. And I wish, if somebody asked me questions after the merger, you know, what can you say? He didn't go to the Super Bowl, but I point out he hired good people, won the first 2 championships. The third year, he lost in double overtime to Lamar Hunt's Dallas Texans. And so the idea is to try to get them to think about that.
John, is there one guy, I don't mean to put you on the spot, is there one guy that you think deserves being in the Hall of Fame that you know deep down probably will never get in? I always beat the drum for Too Tall Jones. I don't think he'll ever get in. Is there one person you'd love to see get in, but you know it's such a long shot?
When I get back on the senior committee, I'm going to start beating the drum for Too Tall, who I've gotten to know a little bit and found out a bunch of really good stats about him, that he was the only player at his position that did. A player that I think should be in was the best offensive lineman on one of the greatest offensive line in history that won 3 Super Bowls, and that was Joe Jacoby, their big left tackle,
yeah,
who also played right tackle. For some reason, we put guard Russ Grimm from the Hogs in before him. I don't know why we did, but Joe Jacoby's now in the senior group, and I think that he definitely deserves it. But he just doesn't get a lot of run in Washington. The big teams, Charlie Cashley, the former GM, they do everything they can to let the voters know about his value. You know, there's other offensive lines that weren't nearly as good as the Hogs and certainly didn't win three Super Bowls, who have more members in the Hall of Fame than the Washington Redskins.
John, appreciate the time as always. We will talk to you next week.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much, as always.
Yes, sir. John McLean joining us here on the program as he does every Monday at 2. We'll get back into the Titans and the Roger McCreary trade. More of that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
This could be the final play of the quarter. They run it with Taylor again. JT to the outside. JT, 5, touchdown!
Because I don't think you idiots know what the bleep you're doing.
Ward, now in trouble. Escapes the sack, but throws it incomplete. Pollard, and he is stuffed by Grover Stewart. JT in the open field, down the sideline, staying in bounds, still going, Taylor, the distance.
He would be so proud.
Look, there are a lot of hills to die on. I don't want you dying on this hill.
Oh, that was good. You were well done, Dr. Crane. That was well done. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. A little insane in the brain. That's what the Titans make us do. One quick note from Pete Thamel. Arch Manning is in the concussion protocol and did not practice on Monday per Steve Sarkisian and his presser in Austin. So could Texas be without Arch Manning on Saturday?
I hope not, because I think he's terrible, and I think Vandy could beat them with Arch. No telling what this backup quarterback could come in and do.
Who? I don't even know who their backup is.
No clue. No clue who it is.
It's some guy named Colt Tex
something.
What's another good Texas?
I mean,
type
Colt
name.
McCoy is just a good Texas
name.
I don't know.
Clint. Clint's got a Clint in there.
James.
James.
Turk.
Yeah. Turk.
Turk could get in there. I don't know. I just think that, well, now, I mean, that's a whole wrinkle for this game on Saturday between Vanderbilt and Texas.
Matthew Caldwell.
Okay.
Matt Caldwell.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Matt.
Grew up on a ranch.
They got a
campus.
Freshman named Luke Dunham. That's a Texas name.
Luke Dunham. I think Dr. Crane yesterday, I would love to see Pavia run a touchdown, run over Bevo, and then just pancake McConaughey. Because you know he'll be there and be like, hi, that boy just ran over me.
There's another senior named Joe Tatum. That kind of works.
Joe Tatum.
Trey Owens.
Where's Joe Tatum from? He's from down here.
He's from Los Angeles. He's a Hollywood boy.
He's like red light, green light, yellow light. Which one are you going to stop at? Probably the yellow light.
But see, and you know where Matthew Caldwell's from? He's from Auburn, Alabama.
Is he? I'd have shot
Luke Dunham's from Austin, Texas.
I'd have shot a movie in Alabama last year about floods.
Are you Bill Clinton or are you Matthew McConaughey?
It's both. Like Frank Caliendo was on the show one time. He did a great Bill Clinton joke impression. He said, here's my Bill Clinton impression. He says, I am not here. It was perfect and like four words and that was it. It was so good.
Oh, it's.
But McConaughey's easy to impress. I mean, it's the impression there is easy. Because he did that red light, green light, yellow light rant. It's like, which one are you going to stop at? You're going to stop at the red light because you're told to. You shouldn't stop at that one. Just go right through that one. And I was like, this guy is insane. What is he smoking? You know, doesn't wear deodorant, by the way, because he does yoga so much, he naturally sweats out.
Huh.
That dude is on another plane.
All right. So speaking of being on another planet, the Tennessee Titans front office, they are, because they traded Roger McCreary today, and they're getting supposedly a fifth round pick back. I don't know.
It's like you go to the marketplace, you're bartering. What you got? What do you got for me?
Yeah.
What if I gave you the best fifth rounder? Okay, I could do that, but that's all I'm going to do right now. What if I gave you a mid-round fifth round? No, I can't do that. Give me the best that you got right here. It's just ridiculous. It's just absolutely ridiculous. You're going to trade a good corner, get something good in return. This is highway robbery, man.
Here's what they got right now. And Paul Kuharsky.
They got Paul McCartney. At least he'll give effort.
Paul Kuharsky put this on his website. They have a first round, second round, third round, fourth round. They have a fifth rounder from the Rams, which was originally the Titans that was traded in the Ernest Jones deal. They will get that back in the McCreary deal. They have a six-round pick, That's from the Jets. Originally, the Ravens acquired via the Jets for Jarvis Brownlee. They also have another six, which is from the Rams, a conditional from the Rams in the Ernest Jones deal, and a seventh round. The worst of the six will go back to the Rams in the McCreary deal.
Fill me in again. Who's Ernest Jones? Who is he?
He played the saxophone with a group called Ernest
and the Joneses.
And the Joneses.
Yeah. Who was it? I mean, was he a Titan at one time?
He was. He was like a linebacker they traded for.
I remember the guy they traded, Kenneth Murray, they traded to the Cowboys. But, Ernest Jones, the guy that came here from the Rams for about a week, and he's like, I want out of here.
Yeah. I guess Mike McCoy was asked earlier today about it. He said, quote, "You've got to look at who does what best. That's something that the defensive staff will look at in the next couple of days and say these are changes we need to make, but to put the players in the right positions and move a couple guys around, whatever we need to do."
Did he glitch?
We'll figure it out.
When he said that in the back?
Probably.
I could see Borgonzi or Brinker with a walkie-talkie talking to his ears. All right, say this. Standard line. Everybody
and
is
then Mike
accountable.
McCoy goes, "I dear, what does that mean?"
He glitches, or like Wreck-It Ralph, which is a very underrated kids movie, by the way.
It is.
But better idea.
Yep, exactly.
These drops are, they're just bad. I mean, I could listen to a whole hour of nothing but drops. They're so good.
Can he play?
Probably not.
The Titans are an 8.5-point underdog at home against the Chargers.
One game they're going to put it together, man. They're going to put it together.
Do you really believe that?
Give me a little positive. They always do. I mean, it's the worst team we've seen. 14 was bad. 04 was bad being here in Nashville since 97. But this is, this is another. I mean, this is not competing. Just bad, bad football from top to bottom.
You know, Bo Scaife, like, I don't even think I follow him. He just pops up on my Twitter now. But now that he was the legend of the game, he's been tweeting again. And he said right after the game yesterday, "This too shall pass. Hashtag tighten up."
Thanks, Bo. Have they announced who the legend is this week? Everybody's probably declining.
I don't know.
I think when Bo Scaife came out in the fourth quarter, there was all those Vrabel chants.
Yeah.
It was
pretty loud when Bo Scaife came out for that.
He was with Keith going across the pedestrian bridge. That's what I was telling you guys about there's not a lot of effort. They were there.
Yeah.
They're saying the same thing. There's not a lot of effort.
I mean, when Keith Bullock or like Derek Mason look back at this football, I was like, what the hell's going on here? I mean, what is – this is not anywhere – even decent. I mean, it's so far bad that it's in another room somewhere. They've got to be looking that way, like, God, this is not how we played back when we were here. But I know that a long time
back
ago.
Back in my day.
But they fought, man.
They did. And this team does not.
This team does not fight at all.
I'm not going to say they don't. I do think there are guys that do. I just don't think they're very good. I mean, I think that's the difference. I think there are some that fight. I think coaching is inept. I think the front office has not put them in a position to succeed. And that all starts with the owner, too.
Well, who sings this song? We fight, we fight, we fight, and fight, 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 fight,
fight, fight, fight, fight, fight, fight, fight, fight, fight, fight, fight, fight, fight, fight, fight, fight, fight, Borgonzi and Brinker are itchy and scratchy. Oh. By the end of the season, they're going to be trying to just beat each other up.
Lemonade? Why, thank you. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, when they made it nice.
Yeah. Oh, shoot that.
Byron says, "If Big Joe is doing impressions, I always wanted to hear him do Peyton Manning doing the walking in Memphis."
Oh, man. I said, "Man, are you a Christian child?" She said, "Man, I am tonight. Walking in Memphis. Walking with my feet 2 feet off the bill. Look at my forehead. I can play a game on top of my head."
It's a five head.
That's right. There you go. Now you got me. I'm going to find that song by Mark Cohn. Walking in Memphis.
There it is. Well done. Take it, Peyton.
Get off my blue. Oh, it's the instrumental version? Oh, man.
You missed it.
Land of the Delta Blues, man. That's where my daddy's from, down in Mississippi. I got to find the words.
WUCN.
Now I'm nervous, man. I can do
that. Yeah, that was good.
Oh, my gosh. Woo. Look, we've had fun today. Look, we got your mind off this terrible football team. Got you fired up.
How many times this week, and now the first time I saw it, I actually laughed at it. Are you going to see, man, crime in this neighborhood is terrible, and it's a busted out window. I had Titans tickets on my dash, and somebody put four more.
Oh, yeah. I had two Titans tickets that broke in and left me four. I don't know, man. But that Arch Manning news, that's kind of a big deal.
Something to pay attention to. Yep. Faux show. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. It's Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. A little walk in the Mark Cohn, I believe that's the artist.
That's correct, man.
With that, quickly, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
All right, first on the list we have Parmesan Reggiano Day, National Parmesan Reggiano.
I like that.
Boxer Shorts Day is today, so take care of your...
No!
All right. You don't need commentary
just
on
saying,
that.
Just saying. American Beer Day is today, so...
We love beer.
Cranky Coworkers Day.
That's me every day, probably.
National Black Cat Day, celebrated in the United Kingdom.
Oh, okay.
National Mentoring Day, another United Kingdom thing.
Yeah, that's good.
National Civics Day.
Yeah.
National Potato Day. Potato Head. Yep. Navy Day, Sylvia Plath Day, World Day of Audiovisual Heritage, and nice. World Occupational Therapy Day.
Okay.
That's well cool. done. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Got to get these within 2 years. Our first birthday, Chase, you go first. From Monty Python, John Cleese. How old is he?
89.
84. 86. Dr. Crane, do you have any idea who that is?
I don't believe so.
Okay, good. All right, next up. Oh, well, friend of the show.
Bunch of Coke. Goodness.
Wrote one song, has played it a gazillion times. I've seen him sing it before a football game at the opening of a car dealership. How old is Lee Greenwood today?
I knew that's where you were going to go.
How old is our buddy Lee Greenwood? Dr. Crane, you go first.
Lee Greenwood is 73.
83.
83, exactly. Looks damn good for 83. I'll give him that there. All right, Chase, you go next. Our next birthday is Kelly Osbourne.
Ozzy's daughter. 39?
44.
41. Chase up 3-1. Dr. Crane, you go now.
I don't preach.
How old is, what's that?
She redid Madonna's Papa Don't Preach yet.
Dr. Crane, the lead guitar player for Judas Priest, one of the all-time best guitar players, K.K. Downing. How old is he?
48. 72.
Too late
You've
now,
buddy.
You
already said it now. 72.
74. Chase up 4-1.
He was just like 48.
Chase, you go first. Simon Le Bon, lead singer of Duran Duran.
Oh, Rick, if you're listening, we were jamming out to some Duran Duran the other night. A little hungry like the wolf.
Guy's night out, huh?
No.
Why are you touching me?
Those aren't pillows. 74.
70.
67. Dr. Crane, Patty Sheehan, legendary female golfer.
70?
All right. Me?
Yeah.
73.
69.
Nice.
4-2. Chase, you go now. How old is... Jeez, Joe, I can't even read my handwriting here. God. All right. How old is John Casey? He was a kicker for Georgia and for the Carolina Panthers.
50.
44.
56. Rick Carlisle, basketball coach. Go, Dr. Crane.
Oh, I'm sorry. 52.
Rick Carlisle, 62.
66. Down to the last two. Chase, you go first. Brady Quinn.
Brady Quinn is 40.
44.
41. Chase is up 5-2. Last one. Dr. Crane, you go first. Lonzo Ball. Basketball player.
28.
27.
28, but not enough. Chase wins 5-4. He keeps his winning percentage about 90% right there. There you go, boys.
All right. That is going to do it for us today. DVD is up in Kentucky. Coming up from Circa Sports there at the Mint at Kentucky Downs.
As we close every show, to our guys out there, we tell you all the time, if you're struggling, please talk to somebody, open up. Look, we have the time change coming this weekend. I know it's a lot of times when people get depressed because of that, but we're going to get out ahead of it. We're going to fight it together. We're not going to let it bother us because we're here together. Know that we're on this planet together. We all have a journey, and your journey is beautiful. Please know that, and know whatever you're going through, we're always here to talk to you. Know your value. Know how wonderful you are, as powerful you are. We love you. More importantly, more than anything else in the world, guys, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. Again, DVD will have full reaction to the Titans, to Vanderbilt, all that stuff coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at Tennessee Brew Works. We'll be there again starting at noon here on 102.5 The Game.